So hopefully everybody heard the meeting will be recorded. So the time is now 10:01 on Wednesday, October 18, 2023, and the Private Activity Bond Committee is called to order. My name is Jaime Alvarez. I'm the Director of Debt Management Division of Oregon State Treasury and the Treasurer's Designee and the Interim Chair of the PAB Committee. So for roll call, I would like to ask each member of the Private Activity Bond Committee to identify yourself for the record. Rhonda?
For the record, I'm Rhonda Nelson, the Capital Finance Manager at the Department of Administrative Services.
Thank you. Teresa?
And I'm Teresa Diebel, public member of the committee.
Thank you. You should all have received an agenda and meeting material for the topics being covered today, which include the private activity bond status, volume cap request, and project updates from the Housing Authority of Washington County, and a presentation for Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. I would like to remind all attendees to mute their mics unless you are speaking. Committee members, please feel free to come off mute at your discretion. And persons attending who are not committee members are asked to hold their questions until after each speaker has fully presented. So again, as an introduction, my name is Jaime Alvarez, and I'm replacing Jacqueline Knights, who has accepted a position with the U.S. Treasury and is no longer with Oregon State Treasury. A little bit about myself. I joined Oregon State Treasury a little over going on 2 years now as the Deputy Director of Debt Management. Previously, I worked for the City of Houston, Texas, and oversaw the Debt and Capital Management Division there and worked extensively on creating the capital improvement plan and the facilitating of all bond issuances for the city. So I'm excited to be part of the committee, and I look forward to working with each of y'all. So with that, we will go to agenda item number 3. I will turn it over to my colleague, Kator Vasan, from Oregon State Treasury Debt Management, to discuss the private activity bond status.
So the first slide here has to do with the private equity bond carry forward allocation history. Roughly $158 million was carried over from last year, and it was with Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. And this year, as you can see, this is the list of projects that all the money was fully utilized for. On this page, we show the allocations for the various departments, starting with the housing department and going all the way down to the expanding farmer loan program. So far, the PAB committee had allocated $25 million roughly for the Home Forward, Grace Peck Terrace projects. We have a request from the Housing Authority of Washington County for $65 million. And if we look at the last table at the bottom, even after the allocation of the $25 million and the current request for $65 million, there is still potential remaining allocation of about $128 million. Going to the next slide, this shows the current allocation as well as the allocation request. So if we look at the allocation for 2023, it was $218 million. Allocation approved to date is about $26 million. The total remaining available to allocate is $193 million, of which $65 million is requested. And at the block below, it shows a little more granularity of some of the projects where the allocation has been used so far. I'll turn this over back to Jaime.
Okay, great. Thank you. Are there any questions on the PAB status from the committee, from the committee members? Great. All right, thank you. With that, we can move on to agenda item number 4. So now we will proceed with the presentation and volume cap request from the Housing Authority of Washington County and relating to its notice of intent to request the 2023 private activity bond volume cap. Who do we have from Washington County there to speak to the presentation?
Hi there, this is Andrew Crampton. I'll be giving the presentation with Matt Chantry, the project consultant.
Great.
Andrew.
I believe on the next slide is the PDF of the PowerPoint. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and again, thank you, Chair Alvarez, a member of the Private Activity Bond Committee. For the record, my name is Andrew Crampton. I'm Development Manager. As you can tell, I'm struggling with a cold in my voice, so to alleviate you guys from having to hear, Matt Chantry is going to give most of the presentation, but I'm available for questions and interjections as well. So thank you, Matt, for helping me out.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, my name is Matt Chantry. I'm the Director of Development with J.H. Bronner & Company. We're the development consultant working with the Housing Authority of Washington County on this project and several others, including the first phase of this repositioning. So it's my pleasure to be able to speak to you today and share a little bit about this particular project and the significant renovation work that we're anticipating here. And if we can go to the next slide, please. So we'll talk a little bit about the kind of the projects in general, give you a little overview of the five properties that are included, share a little bit about the project financing, how we'll pay for the significant renovation work that's going to be done, as well as a timeline about where we are, when we think construction will start and finish and place the projects in service, and then a little time at the end for questions as they arise. Next slide, please. So phase two is the renovation and rehabilitation of five properties in the Housing Authority's portfolio. This represents 260 units and serving approximately 469 residents at those properties. We believe that in speaking with the contractor that there'll be 195 to 225 jobs created through this renovation project over the next 18 months. Total project costs are about $131 million. Our request for private activity bonds is $65 million. This represents a little over 52.5% of the estimated project basis. This is up slightly from when we were here in July, as we've kind of further refined the overall scope of the project, as well as dealing with rising interest rates and the cost of interest carry during construction. And we'll talk a little bit more about the actual unit and physical plant renovations at the project and some of the scope that we've added. We've been communicating regularly with Oregon Housing and our production analyst on this as we've been moving along, and feel like we're well positioned to meet projected closing date a little later this year. Next slide, please. So a little bit about the individual projects. Holly Tree and Tarkington Square and Beaverton and Hillsboro, respectively, make up most of this phase from a unit perspective. 188 units. These are both senior properties with 100% rental subsidy through a PBRA contract with HUD. These are aging properties that are in need of a significant renovation, and we're excited about the scope of work here that is expansive, and will really refresh these units, providing some new amenities and a better overall living environment for those senior residents. The remaining three properties, Cornelius Village in Cornelius, Amberwood Apartments in Hillsborough, and Maryland Terrace in Aloha, make up the remaining units of the 260. The Housing Authority is generously contributing 36 project-based vouchers to these units. So of the 260 units, all but 36 will have rental subsidy, allowing the Housing Authority to continue to serve extremely low and very low income individuals and families at these properties. So we're, excited about that. Next slide, please. So the scope of work generally, we focused first and foremost on kind of immediate needs and life safety concerns and accessibility. We want to make sure that any sort of renovation work that goes in here ensures that these properties are going to last for several more decades, that they will be safe, decent, good housing, and that we can bring them up into compliance with accessibility standards to ensure that even those that have mobility or other challenges in navigating the apartments that we're complying with the most current regulations. We've also spent a significant amount of time looking at energy efficiency upgrades, not only from an operations standpoint, but also trying to be good stewards of these public resources. And then also some fairly significant system replacements. So, for example, at Maryland Terrace and Amberwood, we'll be doing a full water supply line replacement at those properties. At Maryland and Tarkington, we'll be replacing the sanitary sewer lines there to make sure that they will last for the next, 20 to 30 plus years at those properties. In addition to, windows, siding, roofing, WRB and the kind of typical necessary replacements in order to ensure that the envelope of the properties is watertight and will last for the term. Next slide, please. So interior scope of work is fairly expansive. We're doing almost 100% replacement of unit components at these properties, which includes kitchen cabinets, countertops, flooring, paint. We're looking at various cooling strategies, especially the senior properties, whether that ends up being mini split systems or some sort of PTAC or PT heat pump system there. So we're working with the contractor and subs right now and trying to facilitate including those for those senior properties and creating cooling vents for portable ACs at the others as we can. So in addition to those, we'll be doing a fairly significant amount of site work as well, replacing damaged asphalt and concrete. Again, not only ensuring that the sites are accessible, but that they look good and will last for years to come. Next slide, please. As mentioned, all the sites will be getting new windows, siding, and WRB. Four of the five will have new roofs as well. One of them had a roof replacement just 3 or 4 years ago, so that remains in good shape. We'll be upgrading and modernizing the existing elevators at the two senior properties, and as mentioned earlier, waistline replacement and other plumbing and electrical upgrades, including electrical panel replacements in the properties as well. Next slide, please. So overall sources and uses for the project. So we are asking for $65 million in private activity bonds that will be used for construction financing. Our LIHTC investor, RBC, will be contributing between the tax credits and the 45L credits about $46 million in tax credit equity. The Housing Authority will be contributing a acquisition loan or a seller financing note of just shy of $50 million. And then we'll be using a portion of the cash flow during construction as well to help cover costs and deferring about $3.7 million in developer fee. The $65 million ask in private activity bonds represents just over about 52% of estimated tax credit basis, bond basis in the project. Next slide, please. So where we are here in the schedule, we have been working with the contractor and our financing partners. We're targeting a December 6th close on financing. Everything seems to be lining up. Looks like we'll meet that target. We expect to start construction at the very start of the year in early January, completing both Holly Tree and Tarkington and starting Maryland in 2024. And then starting the remaining projects at the end of 2024, finishing in mid-2025, having all projects placed in service by second quarter to third quarter of 2025. All right, next slide, please. So again, just reiterating the ask here of $65 million in private activity bond allocation. We are nearly finished with negotiations with the contractor. We have draft contracts in place and a budget for construction that is fairly firm. Still doing some buyout here in the near future with subs, but we feel really good about where that has landed and feel like we're in a good place. We have building permits, all of the building permits on four of the five properties on Maryland. We have permits on most of the buildings. I think there's two buildings that we're still waiting on building permits for, but those should be coming here in the very near future. The Housing Authority has selected a property management company and currently working on onboarding them and getting them underwritten by the various parties and submitting our package to OHCS for their concurrence as well. And then we're just working through kind of the final stages with our lender and investor and due diligence and providing the necessary due diligence materials for them to get to a commitment so that we can close in early December. Next slide, please. And that concludes the presentation. We'd be more than happy to field any questions or answer anything that may be on your mind.
Great, thank you. Before we take any questions, do we have anybody from Howell to give testimony on this project?
Hi. Good morning, committee. For the record, Todd Unsenstrain, production manager, Oregon Housing Community Services. And testimony, project is proceeding as presented. We're very excited to support getting these rehab units to completion. All the information presented today has been validated and is in line with what we've received from the development team and Washington County. So we look forward to a successful closing at the end of the year and. But we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Now, any questions from committee members? Rhonda?
None from me, thanks.
Teresa?
I do have a question, Mr. Chantry. This is Teresa Diebel. I think I understood you say that all but 36 units would have voucher supports for them. And if approved, this financing would bring all of the properties to be income restricted. Is that also part of my understanding?
Yeah, that's correct. So they would all be income restricted. We're looking at utilizing the average income set aside here at this project, with the effort of, because three of those properties are not currently income restricted, we do believe that there are some residents that have incomes that exceed the 60% of area median income. And so in an effort to try to avoid permanently displacing as many residents as possible, we looked to the new average income set aside to try to increase the set aside for a certain number of units while targeting lower set asides with the project-based voucher units, allowing us to keep more of those residents that may be over 60% at the properties.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you. So now we'll entertain any questions or comments from the public. Seeing none. Matt, Andrew, thank you for your presentation. Is there a motion to award 2023 volume cap to the Housing Authority of Washington County in the amount of $65 million for its Phase 2 portfolio rehab project?
I move that we allocate the requested $65 million from the 2023 volume cap to the Housing Authority of Washington County for their portfolio rehabilitation Phase 2 project.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. We will put it to a vote. The motion to approve this request has been moved and seconded. Committee members, how do you vote? Rhonda?
Aye.
Teresa?
Aye.
Myself, Jaime Alvarez, aye. Thank you so much. The request for 2023 volume cap in the amount of $65 million has been unanimously approved and passed by the PA committee. Thank you very much, and good luck with your project.
Thank you, committee members. Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Now we will move to item number 5. So here we will proceed with presentations from OACS and for some updates on current projects.
Great. So I'm here in person for the record. Matthew Harris, Assistant Director of Capital Markets at OHCS. And I apologize if I'm not looking in the right direction. I'm still getting used to hybrid meetings. And I have with me Angie Cleveland, who is our senior bond analyst responsible for multifamily issuance. And then we're going to walk you through a little bit of what we've done in the past year and what the future is looking like as far as requests that will come to the committee. And then we have a number of OHCS program staff who are available on the call today to be able to answer questions at the end. So with that, I'll turn it over to Angie to start our presentation.
So I will begin kind of what we've gone through or projects we've closed since our last meeting and last update, and then projections for the remainder of the year. So from July to October, we've closed two projects, Spencer Court and Dartmouth Crossing. And then projects that we have anticipated closing by December is we have four projects totaling $97 million, almost $98 million, creating closely to 385 units. However, we know we've gotten a lot of carry forward dedicated to us back in January. We anticipated using it all. But due to some projects, I want to say slipping into next year to fill gaps, or due to interest rate risings, and then also due to some other stuff with the agency, we anticipate returning about $60 million at the end of the year, which would, I'll let Matthew finish, I'd say we'll hopefully come back and ask for. The projects that we anticipate closing by the end of the year, if everything goes for good, is Huntington Apartments, which is actually scheduled to close at the end of this month. And their request was $15 million, creating 60 units. And then we have PPC Killingsworth, which is going to create 84 units, asking almost $26 million. Burnside Housing, which is their current request or anticipated request is $25.8 million, creating 91 units. And Olive Plaza, which is scheduled to close at the end of December, as of right now, anticipated ask is $31.2 million, creating 150 units. Of the four projects that we have, Huntington Apartments, like I said, will close in October, and then the other three are scheduled, as of now, to close mid-December.
And then, you know, looking past December, Angie mentioned we will be returning some carry forward, but as we have in nearly every past year, we'll be coming in with a request for the entire amount of available carry forward that does not get utilized by our agency or any of our partners at the state and local level, because there is quite a need. Just in from the first quarter of 2024, January to April alone, we're looking at potentially over $232 million of projects. And, you know, for the whole of 2024, we're two times oversubscribed for all potential available carry, or both carry forward and 2024 allocation. So hard decisions are going to have to be made, I think, in the next year. In the next slide. And so just as a sample of the projects that are going to be closing in the next year, I won't read through all of them, but you can see that the need is substantial, and we are, you know, very much powering forward. We were a little light in the last two quarters. We talked to you in July about some of the issues we had around Lyft. DOJ had some concerns with how the documents in the Lyft program were performing. And so we did a lot of work to tighten those up to ensure that we continue to meet the requirements of the Article 11Q bonds. Article 11Q it was a massive investment with the legislature into the Lyft program. And in the last session, the investment was even greater. And so, you know, you've seen that our production has ramped up significantly because of that, and that is very much expected to continue over the next at least 2 to 3 years as we get through the next couple of rounds of 11Q bond issuance. And so with that, thank you for your time, and if you have any questions for either the finance staff or from the program staff, we'd be happy to talk.
Great, thank you. Any questions from committee members?
I have one question related to the Lyft bonds. Have all of the issues been resolved? So now it's just moving forward the projects that were kind of waiting on hold?
Yes, I believe so. We have buy-in from all the lenders that may have had some issues with the changes that DOJ was requiring. But we have done a couple of deals now under various different lenders, including some of our bigger lenders. And everything seems to be going well and on track. And I'm not anticipating any Lyft issues with any of the upcoming deals that I'm aware of. I would ask if Ty would concur with that, because he has a little more finger in the pulse with the developers and sponsors.
Yeah, I would concur, and I would just I'll give kudos to the DOJ folks and the program staff, and I would just steal a quote from what I've heard: we are officially back to boring with the Lyft program, and you know we should be no red flags have been identified, and we've got national lenders and local lenders have all kind of opined to the major issues, and we should be landing in a good place that it's good for the state's investment, and resource that'll be used for production to reach our production goals going forward.
Great, that's really helpful. Thanks.
Teresa, any questions?
No, thank you.
Great. Okay, Matthew, Angie, thank you for the presentation. Thank you for having me. Oh, well, first, let me entertain any questions or comments from the public. Hearing none. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for letting us come out and give you an update. Appreciate it.
With that, that was our last agenda item. So if there's not any additional questions from the committee members or anything else, I think it is now 10:32. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the whatever October 18th, 2023 meeting, the AB meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Any objections to adjourning the meeting? Hearing none, the October 18th, 2023 private activity bond committee meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.